experience great failure. Because you cannot experience great success without being taught by a teacher called failure. Because failure will teach you some things that success will never ever show you. And that's why when you're really mature in it, you start thanking God for your successes and your failures, because both of them make you who you really are. And my brothers and sisters, I want you to know tonight that success, as Winston Churchill said, is the ability to go from failure to failure without losing your enthusiasm. Because that's what the life of an unshakable believer is all about. It's about moving from failure to back to faith. From failure back to faith in God. From failure back to faith in God. And every time you can pull yourself up and move from failure back to believing God again, God's saying, there's something great I have for you. Yeah, there's somebody in here tonight. You're in the midst of a failure right now. There's some of you right now, you're coming out of a failed experience. And then there's others of us in here tonight. You need to take good notes, because you're going to experience failure before 2011 is over with. No, I'm not speaking negative over your life. It's just all a part of the storms of life, that failure will happen. That some of you feel like you are a failed parent. Some of us have had to deal with failed marriages. Some of us, professionally, you feel like a failure. Somebody in their walk with God, hallelujah, you feel like you have had a moral failure. You've missed the mark. And I want to let you know today that you can move from failure back to faith. I want to show you this in the time we have to share with one another tonight. Go with me in your Bibles to St. John chapter number 13. Somebody say, I'm moving back to faith. Amen. Yeah, because I know all of us have experienced failure. Somebody in here today, you've been fired before. But God says you got to get back to that point where you believe in me again. Some of you have experienced financial failure, where you've had some things to collapse financially in your life. Perhaps you've had to file chapter 7, chapter 14. You've had a financial failure. But God is saying, watch this, my goal for your life is to take you from failure back to trusting me again. And I want to extract and pull out tonight for our time of study this fellow in scripture by the name of Peter. Because Peter had some colossal failures in his life. Peter had a problem with his temper. Got some Peters and some Patricia's in here tonight. That y'all remember his temper got the best of him there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they was talking crazy to Jesus, and Peter just hauled off and cut a man's ear off. Jesus had to rebuke him, say, Peter, come on now, put the switchblade up, man. This ain't, you know, put it back up. And so we want to look at tonight here in John 13, another failure from Peter. I could have really pulled any biblical character. I wanted to use Moses, that great deliverer and emancipator that God used. And Moses was a man of great failure, because y'all remember in Exodus 11, it talks about when Moses killed a man with his bare hands. Y'all remember that? And buried the man in the sand, right? Y'all remember that? And then further along down the chapter, he was having a conversation with somebody, and they got into a disagreement. And the man asked him, what are you going to do, kill me like you did that Egyptian? And Moses got scared, and he ran, the Bible says. And that's when God had to confront him with the burning bush. Because God wants you to know, even though you done failed, I can use you even with your bad reputation. That's what I love about God. See, God don't care if you got a bad reputation in order for him to use you. Because some of us who have failed before, we are prime candidates to be used of God, because now we know God has to be the one to keep us from falling. That's why he told Moses, he says, Moses, take your shoes off. You know what it's like to be barefooted in the wilderness? When you got rocks and charred glass and snakes and stuff at your foot, and you walking around barefooted? or barefooted, I guess I should say. Barefoot. Thank you, Leanne. You're taking Trinity's place tonight, right? You walking around barefoot? I done forgot the revelation now. Yeah, knowing that at any time you can cut your foot and fall. And so he tells Moses, Moses, take your shoes off. I'm going to be the one that guides you and directs you. Yeah, so that you don't hurt yourself. Go with me to John 13 now, because John 13, the scenario is Jesus is about to be crucified. And here it is, Peter again. He's saying, you know, he's saying, Jesus, look, if they come and get you, they got to come and get me. Because Jesus, I'm ride or die. Now, mind you, now, Jesus is this big-time preacher in the area. I mean, wherever Jesus go and start teaching, crowds just flock. Watch this now. And now they're about to crucify him. And Jesus' followers are about to get real thin. Look what it says in verse number 36. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him and said, where I'm going, you cannot follow me, Peter, but you shall follow me afterwards. Here it is. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. I'm going to surrender to you. I'll tell you, Jesus, if they touch a hair on your head, it's going down. Jesus says in verse number 38, he answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake, Peter? He says, most assuredly, let me tell you what you got on the inside of you. I say to you that the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me how many times? Three times. Watch this. This is moral failure. Let's fast forward the video. Let's go to verse number 18. Look at verse number 25. Bible says, now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. This is now, they're marching in from hall to hall. They've beaten Jesus now. And Peter's afar off. Therefore they said to him, are you not also one of his disciples? He denied it and said what? They ain't me. Look what he said in the next verse. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off. I know you. You cut my cousin. Look what he says. He says, did I not see you in the garden with Jesus? You was over there at Beacon Light at the prayer meeting. But now that Jesus is being persecuted, you telling people, I don't go to no Beacon Light. Now, I was just there visiting. I mean, I ain't no member. And so the Bible says, watch this, the second time he denied him. Watch 27. Peter then denied again, and immediately what happened? Rooster crowed, and he remembered, man, I done let Jesus down again. He failed again. He failed again. Go to chapter 21, because it gets better. Show you how Peter moved from failure to faith. Hallelujah. Chapter 21, let's start at verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, the twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Verse 3 says, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Watch this. Because he done left Jesus. Now he going back to what he had been delivered from. He says, y'all, you know what? I'm going fishing. They said to him, guess what? We're going with you. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught what, y'all? Nothing. You know why? Because when you try to leave Jesus and go back, you don't have the grace for that no more. You don't have the grace for that anymore, because God has given you a new anointing. Peter was not called to be a fisherman of fish. But you remember, we talked about it a few weeks ago in Mark chapter number 1. Jesus called him to be a fisher of men. And you know what we try to do when we fail? We try to go back to that which we know we can do. So we won't have to be in faith no more. So we won't have to trust God no more. I know I can get my needs met doing this. Because this is what I do. I'm a fisherman. The Bible says he stayed out there all night, didn't catch anything. Bible says in verse 4, but when the morning had come now, Jesus stood on the shore, yet The disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some food." So they cast their net now on the, and were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Watch this. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved, which was John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, Simon Peter, this is important, when he heard it was the Lord that was talking to them, he immediately put on his outer garments, for he had removed it. He had taken his shirt off on the boat. So he put his shirt on and plunged into the sea. Watch this. Because now he's going to reconnect with Jesus. And he said, "I can't wait for y'all to pull the anchor up and to put the sails out for us to go back to the shore." He jumped in and swam to Jesus. The Bible says, watch this. Therefore, verse number 8, but the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with them. Drop down now to verse number 15. So now Jesus has some fried fish waiting for him when they came. And he says in verse number 15, "You hungry, ain't you?" I see some of y'all, "Ooh, fried fish. Hope it was catfish." So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, watch this now, this is important. "Simon, son of John, or son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And that's very important. Watch this, look what he says. And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, what? "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend to my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now, that's very important, because what we see right here is the restoration. We see Peter moving from his point of failure and embracing now a new level of faith in Jesus Christ. See, my brothers and sisters, what happens is failure comes to destroy your faith in God. That failure comes to destroy your ability to try again. And Jesus is saying, "I'm cool with your failure because I'm able to restore you." Let me give you now tonight four ways to move from failure to faith. Failure to faith. Just so I can make sure I'm in the right church tonight. How many of you have experienced failure before? Let me see your hands. Yes. Yes. And let keep those hands up. Let me just share something with you that won't be the last time you fail. You can put those hands down. If you're going to move from failure back to faith, that place of expectation and excitement again, the first thing you got to do is you got to face the emotions of your failure. Because no matter how strong you are, when we fail or perceive that we have failed, we always have to deal with an array of emotions. Can I get a witness in here? See, whenever you have failed, especially like Peter, at something that you have put your all into, you are going to face some strong emotions because you gave that thing your all, but yet you still fail. See, Peter gave up on his destiny because he had given Jesus everything. And even though Peter had some issues, he had some flaws, Peter was totally loyal and sold out to his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, when we fail at things that we've given our all to, we face an array of emotions. For example, when men, when they fail, they have the hardest time overcoming the failure that is associated with their jobs. Women, they have the hardest time overcoming failure that is connected with their relationships, because it's a part of who we are. Men are associated by what we do. Women more time are satisfied and fulfilled by who they are connected with. And when you have these type of failures that you closely identify yourself with, it's harder for you to overcome it because that failure sends on so many different emotions. See, and the key, my brothers and sisters, is not to avoid these emotions, but to move through them so you can move from the failure back to a place of faith. See, emotions that can come along with failure, it's a progression that we go through. First of all, we deal with shock. Like, I can't believe this has happened to me. Come on, somebody. Like, how I got fired. Everybody else was stealing boxes too. You shocked. You like, this was not supposed to happen. How did my marriage fall apart? This is supposed to be other people that I'm supposed to pray for. Because I didn't get in this thing to get divorced. You see what I'm talking about? How did I get kicked out of school? I've been there before. Really. You shocked because you never thought it would have happened to you. And you move from shock to fear. Because now, what am I going to do? How am I going to move forward? How am I going to recover from this? Who's hiring in this time and in this climate? Who's going to marry me now that I'm over 40 and I'm single again? See, when you're dealing with all of these emotions, you go from shock to fear, then you go to angry. I'm going to blow that mug up. I'm going to bust the windows out of his car. The emotions. These are the emotions. You go from shock to fear. Now you're angry. Then you move to shame. Because now, man, I can't let nobody find out. So you get dressed and act like you're going to work, knowing you fired. You ain't going nowhere. You ain't got no job. Real. You still wear your ring. You don't want nobody to know that a storm has come to your house. See, we move from shock, fear, anger, shame. Then we move to blame. See, the man, they ain't let nobody get ahead. You know, that's why, you know, white folks, they ain't got nothing to do. You the one showed up late. See that? All men, they know you want blame. See that? You go from shock, fear, anger, shame, blame, resentment, despair, thinking that I can never recover from this. See, and that's where the devil want to keep you. He want to keep you locked in this whirlwind of emotions. How am I going to recover from this? That's what Peter was. Peter was like, man, I'm going fishing. I just need to clear my mind because I got so much on my mind. Anybody ever been there when you fail before? That you got so much. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And see, the thing is, you can't deny the emotions. But you can't get stuck in them either, because these are natural progressions. See, when you are dealing with these emotions, this is what you're going to need. Number one, you're going to need some godly company. You're going to need some folks around you that's living their life on a solid foundation. That is not the time to be hanging out with shallow, sandy people. Because you can't pull me out of what I'm going through if your feet ain't on a firm foundation as well. You can't be telling me that I should do this and you should bust a wind. Get in the car, girl. We're going to go. No, you got to have somebody that's on firm foundation to let you know you was better than that anyway. And if God closed that door, he has another door to open up for you. Your life is not over because you experienced a failure. You got to have somebody that's on a solid foundation. Because when you have the wrong people in your corner, when you're dealing with failure, they can exacerbate these emotions. That they can allow you to become stuck in these emotions. Hallelujah. But you got to have somebody that love you so much that they ain't going to just cheer you on when you wallowing in your pity party. But they're going to say, girl, you're going to get up from this. You're going to get out that house. You're going to put some clothes on. We're going to La Coretta's and we're going to have us a good time, because this is not the end for you. You got to have some godly company. Some godly company. Let the church say godly company. Godly company. See, and number two, if you go overcome these emotions, it's extremely important that you take your failure to Jesus. Because let me help you out with something. Let me give you a public service announcement. Jesus can handle your failure. I'll say it one more again. Jesus, he can handle your failure. Boy, that's why I love him, because he can handle it. I don't have to be ashamed in front of him, because you know what? He know you. He don't know Sister Jenkins and Brother Jones. He know Shanika. See, and you can come to Jesus, watch this, and Jesus can relate to every one of your failures. Oh boy, touch somebody right now and say, he understands. Because see, when people don't understand, they judge you. When you haven't walked a mile in my shoes, you ain't got nothing to say about what I done dealt with and how I done reacted to certain things. If you ain't lived in that house, if you ain't worked at that job, if you ain't had to deal with the pressure that I've had to deal with, you don't understand. But Jesus understands. Look what he said. Go in your Bible to Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 14. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Because you understand. Hallelujah. That's why you should spend more time talking to Jesus than tweeting to your friends. Because they going to judge you. They going to say, girl, she out there bad. This happened. Oh, but they don't understand what you're dealing with. But the God we serve, I love it because he understands what I'm dealing with. Jesus understands how you got caught up. I know that's going to mess with you because see, the church is the last place where we can come and expect somebody to be sympathetic to our weaknesses. But that ain't what the word say. Look what the word says in the NIV version. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who have gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us come, hold firmly to the faith we profess. Don't let failure keep you down. Hold on to your faith. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand or sympathize with our failures. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just like us. He says, yet he was without sin. Jesus says, when they hung me on that cross, all of your weaknesses, all of your failures was laid upon me. I felt what you felt. He says, and God loved you so much that he had me to die for your failure. You can bring that to me because I understand. Boy, put the next verse up for me, Evan. He says in the next verse, watch this, verse number 16, I think it is. He says, therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we can receive mercy and find grace to help us when we've had a failure in our life. See, that's what I love about God, is that I can come to him when I fail, and God is saying, I'll give you confidence. I'll give you some mercy. I'll give you some grace. I'll pull you up out of that failure, and I'll put you back in faith. Somebody give him a praise because he understands tonight. Somebody give him a praise because your mom and them didn't understand, but Jesus understands. Somebody give him a shout because your spouse couldn't understand you, but Jesus understands. Somebody give him praise because your church member couldn't understand. They talked about you, but Jesus understands. Oh, I thank him, y'all, that he understands me. He says, we have a high priest that understands, and not only can he handle your failure, he can give you what you need to move away from it. Not only can he sympathize with where you are, but then he can come and move you to the place where you're supposed to be.